Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into Drake London, USC wide receiver. There's some interesting stuff with him, and I actually took some detailed notes I rejiggered my entire combine projection stuff. I dug up some old pro day stuff. Shout out to, I think it's combineresults.com. They have a great database that I actually use that actually incorporates pro day stuff. So some good stuff here for Drake London that I wanted to sort of dive into with his profile and some of the lack of stuff that we have with him, right? And I think he's one that's going to be there's a lot of questions about him, and I talked about him a little bit in the Treylon Burks one. There's a lot of questions about him, but there's also very much there's questions, but there's also good stuff that we see that I think you have to it depends what you value, right? And I think for me, a guy like Drake London makes a lot of sense for some reasons that I'll dive into here. So Drake London, 6'4", 219. He has not participated in athletic testing yet. So I went back 51 wide receivers. I believe that's since 2008. 45 of them participated in the combine or a pro day 40 time. So he's one of six that have not. I guess he'd be one of seven. So six of them prior have not. Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, Hollywood Brown, Corey Davis, Michael Crabtree, and Demaryius Thomas. Demaryius Thomas, Marquise Brown, and Crabtree did nothing in the testing process. I believe, if memory serves, Demaryius Thomas was coming off an Achilles, I think, at that point. Crabtree, I know, was banged up in his rookie season. I don't know if he just sat out or what. I know he had a little bit of a rough pre-draft process, and Brown, I think, was injured as well. Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, both did the broad jump, tested relatively well in that. Corey Davis did a 4.28 short shuttle. So, and Corey Davis was hurt in the pre-draft process as well. Of course, Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle didn't have a full combine. So again, context there, but I think it's worth noting. Drake London broke his ankle at the end of the 2021 season. He was supposed to, he went to the combine, did not participate in the athletic stuff, was supposed to have a pro day earlier. I think it was late March that he did not participate, citing I believe it was continued rehab, and at some point he had a strain in his hamstring. He then scheduled another one for April 5th, delayed it a week because of a strained hamstring. It's supposed to be next week, or actually it's supposed to be later this week in terms of when it's going to be recorded. I am just going to record this because I have a sneaking suspicion that he's just not going to test. So I'm just going to get this out of the way. And I think, you know, if we need to do an update, we will. But I have a sneaking suspicion that he's just not going to test. So we'll see. But I don't necessarily – three of the top six guys hit in – three of those six guys that didn't test hit in – the first 3 years, which again is at or around the base rate, depending on how you want to measure it. Devonta Smith has not hit yet and counts actually counts against them, and it was his rookie season. You know, Waddle hit, right? So you start looking at those guys, you know, and I don't think there was any outright flagrant busts there. Corey Davis disappointed. But otherwise, the other guys in there, a decent group, you know, and I think a star and Demaryius Thomas. So, not super, super worried about that. And I think, you know, this is a good situation of like, hey, trust the tape. And we hear teams say that, and we'll see if that's true. He certainly deserves to be a first-round pick. 2.53 yards per team passing attempt. That's 88th percentile for his career. 2.32 yards per route run, 68th percentile. 23.3 targets per route run. We'll come back to that number in a second. That is 50th percentile. Again, then you look at the max stuff. So give me your best, right? Give me your best shot. Wide receiver, yards per route run, 3.52 for Drake London. It's 89th percentile. His max targets per route run, 38.8%. That is 99th percentile. So you look at a guy that's just force fed the ball this past year. Pretty wild stuff. Best yards per route run in, against man coverage in this class of any of the round one guys. Second highest percentage of routes targeted on in man coverage. That's 42nd percent. Second best in the country in yards per route run against zone coverage. So he basically does it all. We'll get back to this in a second. At 18 years old, 13.6 dominator rating. At that time, he was a freshman at USC on the basketball team. 19 years old, 21.2 dominator rating. This past year, it's been the first year he's fully been looked at in terms of just straight up looking at football, right? No other sports. He takes the big leap forward, 31.8 dominator rating. Again, he's banged up, so that kind of held against him as well. A little bit in the numbers, you see he stands out in terms of takes a huge step forward in yards per route run, huge step forward in terms of targets per route run. He is a ball dominant outside player. I very much analogize. There's going to be a common thread, and it is that he's just contested. Just a contested wide receiver, right? He's just always covered, and they just it's contested stuff. I view this a little bit differently. When you actually look at his contested, the percentage of his man targets that were actually contested, it was 31%, which again ranks, I think I have guys above 70 targets, excuse me, above 50 targets this year at wide receiver. There was 244 of them in the NCAA. His was the 77th highest. So it really wasn't, I mean, again, it was more of them contested than the median, but it's not that high. And when you factor in the fact that he was targeted on 42% of his man-to-man routes, which was second in the league, a second in college football out of those 244 guys, you look at that and you say, I think something very clear happened. Very, very crystal clear to me happened, which is this. It shows up when he plays and you see him targeted 15 times a game. Like you see these outrageous things. It is simply put this. His quarterback said, Drake London, no matter what. Doesn't matter if he's covered. Doesn't matter if it's zone. Doesn't matter if it's man. If it's man, he's winning. I don't care. I'm throwing it to him. Throw him back shoulder. Throw him contested. And you look in money throws, like money time, where it's him. There was the specific, like a sequence where they're driving at like the end of a half and they're down. And it's Drake London on the perimeter. It's Drake London back. Back shoulder. It's Drake London back shoulder again. I think he draws a DPI, like him in the end zone, right? Like it was like bang, 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 bang. Just peppering him with targets. And I analogize it to James Harden when he was with the Rockets. And this is even like early career Rockets, James Harden. And I use basketball analogies a lot. So if you're sort of newer to AOD, you'll hear me talk about this stuff. Sorry if you're not into basketball, but to me, it was like you'll watch James Harden and he'll take like these step back contested threes and you'll be like, what the hell? Like, can't we get a better shot than this? And surprisingly, the answer was no. Right? A lot of times it was like our best thing is no matter what, James Harden taking a three. Whether that's contested, whether that's step back, whether it's off a double, late shot clock, early shot clock, James Harden taking a three is the best thing that we're going to do. And he wins a scoring title, right? He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's a top, whatever, 75 or whatever they just did in terms of list. Like he makes a list, right? Like you look at him and it was no matter what, that's what we're doing, right? Like that's the bet. That is our best bet. That was 100% what USC did to Drake London. No matter what, our best option is throw it to London. Whether he's covered, whether it's back shoulder, whether it's a screen, you know, whether it's and you look and you know, a lot of the targeted stuff with the contested stuff, you would see him run like some of these short routes and it would be like double inbreakers, right? Where he would run an in sort of behind a guy in the, he would be on the perimeter and someone in the slot would run an in. Again, this is me getting all tapey, but I was really fascinated by how the contested catch thing, I've spent a ton of time watching his stuff because I just wanted to see how the contested catch thing actually happened. And what would happen is you'd get these sort of double inbreakers and defenses were sort of jump and there was no space. And so what was happening is it's like, he didn't really have an opportunity to separate from anyone. That was a lot of what it was. Or it was a lot of outside sort of back shoulder. Again, just, hey, he's one-on-one. I don't care how good the coverage is. That's our best bet. Again, if that's the criticism of Drake London, is that like his team, no matter what, was going to force feed him the ball, and whether he was covered, whether he was not, they were going to 42% of the time, second best in college football last year. The answer is like, that's the guy that I want, right? Like if the guy that's the solution to any problem, and you know, it didn't matter, right, to them basically whether or not he was, he was covered. We're going to do it anyways. I think that actually tells you a lot about a player, right? And so he was very good. Again, he's good after the catch. I like him. He's tough, right? He's a captain. There's basically all the stuff that the quote, the kind of go against the analytics, traditional, I guess, analytics, shtick, I guess, if you will, right? Like all the stuff that you know isn't the numbers, like it all sort of checks out for him too, right? And I think the interesting, you think about growth mindset, you think about all these things with, you know, what are you looking for in terms of, hey, who's a guy that could really outproduce? Well, one of the things that shows up is, hey, multiple sport athlete goes there, is okay, and then stops and takes a big leap forward because he stops playing basketball. And we sort of see that show up. Right. And that's a really good, like, that's something I look at and say, all right, like, again, he's a two sport college athlete. Not a lot of those walking around, and you see a big jump when he just focuses on one. Right. And that speaks to me that, hey, there's probably some growth potential there. There's probably still some unrealized ceiling. And you think it's a really good athletic profile that you can play a lot of multiple sports, right? Those skills as a receiver are typically good ones as well. So I like all of that stuff about him, right? And I think that the contested catch thing is stuff that we'll see. Oh, he's always covered, no separation, all that stuff. Like if you just took out the contested catch stuff, right? If they just didn't force feed him the ball, he wouldn't show up with that high of a contested catch rate, and he would actually look kind of normalish, right? His stats would look almost like Treylon Burks' stats in terms of like targets per route run and that sort of stuff, because he didn't, because they just didn't hammer the ball into him, right? So, again, what do you care about, right? Like, I want them to think like, hey, this is the best bet. Like, that's kind of what I want. So, again, he does it versus man, he does it versus zone, right? He's just a monster, I think. Matt Waldman's got a great quote. Just remember that London is fast enough to do what he's going to be paid to do. Get open and catch the football. Lance Zierlein talked basically the whole time about too slow to beat man coverage. Again, he beat a ton of man coverage, so we'll see how that goes. I think we can get into beauty contests a lot, or we can just sort of look at what guys can do. And I think a guy like Cooper Kupp, right? How does a guy like Cooper Kupp go in the third round? Like, because he didn't look the part, right? Because he came out of Eastern Washington and didn't look the part. And all he did, like, in college was beat people. And all he did at the pro day was, all he did at the Senior Bowl, I was there, was be the best deep ball wide receiver there. And he ran a 4.62 and skinny white dude, and who's not really that skinny, but you get that sort of moniker. And then everyone just keeps believing it, and he falls to round three. And he wins the Triple Crown this year, right? Like, how does that stuff happen? Well, kind of narratives just get regurgitated and believed, and this is what happens, right? Again, I'm not necessarily comping him to Cooper Kupp, but I do think sometimes we do ourselves a disservice by not just trusting what they've done and what they've shown us that they've done, and understanding that guys that are really good at doing stuff in college, right? Like they're really good at running routes. There's a certain level of professionalism that translates in that. So that's the deal with that. Again, he wins against man coverage. Again, is it the best man coverage in the world? Probably not, but he's won against man coverage when asked to do so. So we'll see there. PFF, played basketball and football as a freshman, stopped playing basketball and took a massive jump. Remarkable body control. I love this one. 100 catch, 10 touchdown, a season guy sooner rather than later. That's kind of how I think about him. He's at this point, he's the of these profiles, he's the one that I like the best. I think he'll probably go at the top of the board. I'm not trading up. I'm typically a trade down guy. I do think, you know, if he's two or three or something like that on the board, I feel confident sitting there and just taking him. Depending on who goes after him, we'll see a specific recommendation later on. But I'm a huge fan of his. And you know, if I could slide from like one to wide receiver one to like wide receiver three, I would. I'd love it. Right? Like, and take him. Like, that'd be great. So we'll see how that all unfolds. But big fan of Drake London at this point, and excited about him going forward. We'll see. I think the combine stuff, the testing stuff with him is interesting. If he doesn't test, does he just sort of stay where he is? That create more problems. If he tests and tests poorly, you know, he's coming off an injury, all that stuff. We'll sort of see how that all unfolds. I'm really interested to see how this next week unfolds, and I can do some more content later on. Again, I'm not betting that it changes him super, super much, but we could see more narratives being bandied about. But I think mid first is a good spot for him. A team like Philly would be interesting because he's an interesting comp to a guy like Devonta Smith. So, all right, well, that's going to do it. A little bit longer one here for Drake London, but I think he warrants it. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.